Hey, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. Welcome to the live Shatter broadcast. This is for June the 9th, 2011, but we're actually going to air it on June the 10th, Friday night. If you're going to look at the archives, you're going to find this particular topic listed under June the 9th, 2011, on a Thursday night. But again, we're airing it on Friday the 10th, and I want to welcome you to the series this week, Sexual Decadence and the End of Man, subtitled Demonic Influence, Addictions, Hellbound Defiance, and Biblical Prophecy. One of the reasons we bring this in is not only because the past in Old Testament occultism, there is a connection with sex ritual and sexual addiction, demonic interaction, bloodlines. Well, we can go back to the Nephilim, the B'nai HaElohim that came and took the women, and discuss that issue. It does seem clearly that fallen entities do have an interest in sexual connection and even genetic manipulation, altering, and the creation, well, of something quite different. But we're going to talk about, in this particular subject, astral or psychic sexual attack. We're calling it rape in the second degree. How sexual attack occurs in sleep paralysis and in predatory dark practices. Now, I got to read something to you here real quick. This comes off of one of the astral plane, astral projection websites. By the way, there's well over a million, hundreds of thousands of websites that deal with the subject of astral projection, astral sex, psychic sex, relating to entities out there, on and on and on. I mean, there's so much information. We're going to give you some of that along the way, and we're going to try to be very careful that we do not give out materials. I don't want to give out websites and ultimately books and materials that deal with this stuff from the other side. I really don't, but I do need to bring exposure to some of these things. If you remember in the book of Revelation, where it talks about how there are those in a certain city, the seven churches, it talks about one of those where there are those who did not know Satan's deep secrets. Now, there is that sense of even way back then, that secret teaching, secret hidden knowledge. And the Greek word gnosko, the idea there is there are those who didn't know it by experience. So we're trying to share information based on objective observation, maybe interactions in spiritual warfare, but definitely not in actual experience in any way. I can go back to my experience under Golden Buddha at the temple, Hop Sing Temple, learning from a master how to leave my body, how to do all these things. And I'm going to tell you that it's very similar to the Monroe techniques for astral projection, which we'll come to in a few moments. But I got to read you some. This is very shocking. Take a listen to this material here. Now, I can't give the name of the person because they put up the posting anonymously. This is an astral projector. This is one that knows astral projection and astral sexual relationships. And I'm going to say again, to pastors, spiritual leaders, and to Christians, it's not a subject to avoid in the sense of objective knowledge of what to deal with, because this is growing. I mean, you've got more people involved with this than humanism, maybe atheism, I don't know. But you've got more people engaged in this supernatural, spiritually oriented engagement with entities, non-human entities. Now, I'm going to say off the bat, and you got to know that I'm a believer in Christ, we're talking about the demonic realm. Now, biblical definition, demonic, given the idea of these dark spirits, giving their true, I mean, their a name to them in the sense of their true nature. But they are entities. They have mind, will, powers. We're talking about fallen angels. We're talking about the demonic. We're talking about, well, those powers, some would say the energies, but you can't have the energy projecting and experienced in some sense without the entity being there. The entity projects the energy. The entity looks for, well, I would say human open doors. Passivity is a big one. We'll talk about that in a moment. But listen to this shocking, I think it is shocking in a lot of ways. Here's a woman talking about astral projection, astral sex, and what occurs. As she's putting her child down, her little baby down to take a nap, she's going to go take an astral nap, she says. And so she's learning how to go passive and relax everything and on until finally she gets up out of her body. She goes through, in her discussion, she goes through a tunnel and everything's blurry. And then now I'm going to quote, and I'm quoting again off of this website, the astral plane, but it's quoting a person. There's no name listed, so I can only tell you that it's anonymous. But here it is, quote, there were other presences. Now, again, this is her observation being out there in the astral, they call the astral realm. There were other presences around the church. They felt male. I'm having what I can best describe as astral sex with one male, then a whole group of them. This was distinctly different from physical sex. It was wholly an energy thing. I didn't resist at all, but rather was completely absorbed in the experience, and they explained what that experience was like. I don't want to do that. I go on with a quote. My attitude regarding this shocked me upon reflection. I began to wonder if there was an astral equivalent to AIDS and some other STDs and decided I'd better not think about it or they might become real for me. Now, you got to think about the thinking of this individual. A lot of the new agents, the idea is, you know, if you think it, you create it. Intention creates things, things like that. But they're asking and they're fearing the issue about getting some kind of astral disease like AIDS or other STDs. They're saying that they were astraling out but hovering around some kind of church and there were male entities. And then she's having sex with one of them and then a whole group of them. Group astral sex. It goes on and I quote, at one point the entities lifted me up by what was like my wrists and ankles. And it was like I was made some kind of a liquid that was heavier than air, but much lighter than flesh. There were definite physical laws in effect, but they were different than what we normally deal with. This writer, an experiencer of astral sex, goes on to say, I quote, I had the sudden thought, oh my God, I've left my baby napping at the front door, and the front door is unlocked. I have to get home. I was not frightened or even worried. It was almost a mock concern. A voice, listen now, a voice from physical reality was creeping in. Next thing I knew, I was hopping, flying down the sidewalk towards my house. While there was a lot of snow here in reality at the time, it had melted on this side, other dimension. And I thought that was odd. I was trying to hurry home, but I hadn't quite gotten the hang of how to move about in this jello-like body. They call it the astral body. I'm going on with the quote now. So I was doing this little hop, fly, 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 hop, fly, hype, you know, maneuver. I did muse that this world seemed very comical to anyone who saw me. Next thing I knew, I was back in my bed, but I still had no sensation of my body. I go on with the quote. Then I thought I had opened my eyes. I sensed a presence in the hallway. I realized that my eyes weren't really open. However, because my vision wasn't normal, my husband was on a return flight from Europe at the time of this nap, and I thought, oh my goodness, he's home. But it's so early. Next thing I knew, I was on my couch. Again, she's going to have sex. She's having sex with somebody. And I go on with the quote, but I could only see bits of the ceiling and the room as I tried to swing that tunnel vision towards the being I was with. Let me say it again, quote, towards the being I was with. That's the entity that's having sexual relationship with her. This is kind of an astral thing that it's almost now physical. She goes on to say, quote, his head was on my chest and I touched his hair, I thought. Now, here's where she says, now listen to this. Listen. It's, and she names her husband. It's, you know, she's saying, it's my husband. I felt like it was my husband and therefore felt fine having this sexual relationship with this entity being. Now I quote again this woman, but then I had the thoughts that this was a trick. And whoever it was just making me think it was my husband so I would have sex with them. Listen to what she says at the very end. I wasn't really too concerned with who it was, but was happy to think it was my husband. Now, is that adultery? What is that? Now, there you have a married woman, puts her baby down for a nap. She goes to take a nap. Obviously, she's a practitioner of astral projection, astral sexual experiences. She's out there in some way experiencing sex with what she thinks is a male entity and then a group of them. And then she's realizing she's back home, back in her house, there her body. She's half in and half out of it. And another entity, a being, is having relationship with her. And then she's thinking it's her husband. Then she's thinking it's a trick, but she didn't really care. It had to have been a trick because her husband was on a flight home. So this entity is having sexual relationship with a woman. She wasn't too concerned because at least she was thinking that it was her husband. Wild. I read probably eight months ago, a book called Astral Sex, The Art of Astral Projection by Sapphire. Matter of fact, Mastering Time Travel. I've read a number of Sapphire's books where the astral projection is very similar. Listen, remote viewers, very similar to remote viewing. The idea of, looking at the pyramids and going underneath, getting the secret knowledge, time travel, past, present, future, all the rest, the Akashic records, getting the data, getting the information, astraling out and looking at cases and all kinds of stuff, looking at history. But also, this includes detailed information about astral sexuality. Now, this is the interesting thing. I'm looking at a webpage. It says well over a million. I'm looking at, let me just read some of them. I mean, anybody can do this. It's on the web nowadays. That's why, I'm going to say so much, but I don't want to give too many things, like the website about how to find your angel and have sex with your angel. Really? An angel of God? Really? The only thing we have in history and in extra-biblical history is the demonic realm dealing with raping humanity and what some people would call the alien entities, which I think, again, are demonic entities, also kidnapping, raping individuals. Well, The Art of Astral Sexual Projection Sex, there's another title, and there's a course out there on the issue, training courses, ebooks, all kinds of material. Let me tell you something when it comes to sexual rape by demonic spirits. By the way, if you're brand new to this this broadcast, Shadow the Darkness Live, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Friday, Eastern Standard Time. The website, www.shadowthedarkness.net. And this is Russ Dizdar. Welcome to all those that are listening by satellite radio and by internet radio worldwide and by the archives. And I'm very sure this will be archived down in quite a few places. We're doing this entire training this week, or course, or some have called it a training course. They've written me notes to say thank you. It's a series on this topic that we're going to connect to a course that we have done that we are re-uploading that has about 15 hours. And the title of the course is Sexual Decadence in a Man. It deals with the gift of God, and it deals with the good side. But it also deals with a lot of the deviant, the decadence, the sin addictive issues in this field. And it deals with the current growing moral decadence. It deals with biblical prophecy telling us that in direct corresponding to the rise of demonic manifestation of the world, demonic writings, demonic experiences, supernatural dark experiences, cults, the occult, Satanism, bloodline Luciferianism, all the rest, along with the massive unprecedented rise in that area, is this massive experience of individuals claiming that entities have raped them, have come into the rooms, and for many of the thousands upon thousands upon thousands worldwide that have experienced sleep paralysis, it can be one of a few things. One, it can be direct demonization. Demons that were already in a house, already in a room, already in a place that had doorways that were opened up. You moved into a place, they're already there, and something tries to attack you. Now, my wife shared in a story that I did with her live on the air, and I think she also shared it on one of her broadcasts. If not, I'm going to ask her to share it. But she has shared it live in a discussion with me on sleep paralysis. In this very issue, it's on the blog talk, the Ragged Edge Archives. Now, she shares about being, she was going to go work for her sister-in-law just for the weekend to help out and get, you know, get some pay and work and do some stuff. They had hotel rooms, individual hotel rooms for all the individuals. So she always goes to a hotel room and she's putting, Purell around and spraying the room a little bit with Lysol and that kind of stuff. She also prays over her room. But at night, she tells the experience, now this is my wife, of all of a sudden in the middle of the night, she feels like something's fluttering in the room, fluttering like wings. She wondered if some kind of bird or something got in the room, but something was fluttering, but it was bigger. And all of a sudden, she felt something touch her back, and then something was on her back, and there was like a fluttering of wings. She instantly bolted up and rebuked it, commanding it to leave. And trying to, you know, clear the air in Jesus' name. Now, everything stopped. She turned over, and it started to happen again. This time, she got up even bolder and stronger and commanded it to get out. And she did spiritual warfare prayers in the name of the Lord Jesus. And she really unleashed on it. She told me about it the very next day. She shared in that, you know, discussion that we did on the radio program, The Ragged Edge, probably over a year ago. It's in the archives on that program. She tells me about that, how weird that experience was, and that her spiritual discernment was, it was something that was already there because what was done in that room. And but she was able to stop whatever it was, and but she tells me what she thought and felt, the intent. Now, some would call that sleep paralysis, and that's why I'm saying that's kind of a psychological term. We might need to refer to this as incubus succubus, sexual rape by demonic spirits. By the way, on the website, shadowthedarkness.net, in the series that we do, and the past series in the archives, we have the PDF file study notes, today's study notes, with the title Astral Sexual Attack. Sexual rape by the demonic spirits, that's where we're at right now. B, sexual rape by demonized human beings in occult practices or all astral sex. And then C, how to get rid of all this. So that's what we're dealing with today. And again, I put up the prayers in advance wanting all of you to know that God loves you, God seeks you, God knows you. God, nobody wants you more than God in Christ. And his love, his power, his grace, his mercy, and the gift of everlasting, well, I like to call it indestructible immortality, is found in Jesus. Jesus Christ, the one who died at the cross, buried, rose from the dead, blasted apart the finality of death, and comes with love to forgive us, to break the sin nature, the death code, Satan's lies and presence and so forth. I pray that you know Jesus. I pray that during this 1 hour that God will move upon your life to be saved if you're not. Many of you listening to this because you've had experiences in this area. So I'm praying that in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of God will teach you and help you, that Jesus will deliver you. And I ask that the prayers prayed now will have effect in your life the moment you begin to listen. That Jesus and his power and his delivering grace and his protection will literally fall over you and lead you to also renounce any and all practices, clear the air around you, know the authority of Christ as a real believer in Christ, if you are one. And maybe you can use this to help out. I also say this, and I was a pastor 30 years, and we've been out in the field like this about 4 years, and we we have noticed over all these years, the church is horribly silent on the good side of sexuality. All there are little cliches that are being preached on, nothing in massive depth. And when it comes to the occult side, the demonic side, and the decadence and the demonization of sexuality, which is not only part of the past, vastly a part of the present, and will become a massive element in the end of days. Why aren't, again, may I say to the leadership, let's unleash the revelation of God in the context of what's going on. Let's help people get free. Let's help people enjoy the gift of God, sex, as God intended, pleasure, procreation, as part of a relationship. But let's also be unashamed to address the sexually decadent, dangerous, lethal, addictive practices that obviously the demonic realm has entered into. And like this woman that I just read about, she doesn't know anything about God, nothing about Jesus Christ, Spirit of God in her life. So she can't say anything about discerning what this is. Obviously, like many others, she's read the materials, got a hold of the stuff, began to practice. Now, let me stop for a moment to say this. There will be those that say, well, I don't believe in out-of-the-body experiences. That's up to you. There's no question biblically that Ezekiel left his body, that John left his body, that Paul left his body. In those cases, by the hand of God, by the Spirit of God, there was supernatural enablement. God did it to show them things, to reveal things. Ezekiel, it occurred a number of times. John in the Isle of Patmos, it occurred by the Spirit of God in giving the revelation of future human history. And it is amazingly so specific and detailed. Reading the future by reading the book of Revelation in the biggest events in human history. Now, millions around the world, maybe you too, feel that in the air. You know what's coming. But it's the scripture that tells you what it is that is coming and how to prepare and how to make sure you're saved, you know Christ. Now, I'm looking at another website, Spiritual Quest. It's all about sex, astral sex, energy sharing, and on and on. So we've got to begin with this issue by saying that the future tells us that in accordance with the work of Satan, this operating work of Satan on a global scale, counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles will be done to deceive those who are perishing. But it's not just counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles. There's a fourth element. Did you read that? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles, and in every sort of, the Greek word, moral, decadent, even sexual deviancy, perversions. There will be a rise in moral perversions, moral, decadent addictions that darken human understanding, that cloud and blind the mind, and that opens humans wider and broader to deeper spiritual deception and demonic attachment, if not opening doors to demonic possession. In this discussion today about astral sex and astral sex attack, rape in the second degree. Now, there are those, many of those, and some of you that might be saying, like this woman that I read already, and there's other articles online. And the articles online, the articles in the books that I've got all around me here on the subject, including occult-oriented sex magic, you know, Crowleyan sex magic, the Odu Templi Orientis, Alice Bailey, all the rest of them. You can go back not only to them, but you can go to someone more modern. I mean, dead now, but modern. The Church of Satan and Blanche Barton's book, or the Satanic Bible and the sex rituals and so forth there. And you can look at all of the occultic side, like I mentioned earlier in the week, the Children of God, which is a cult by Moses Berg. This is where they have so distorted Jesus, Christianity, that actually they're presenting that God's having sex with children. What a blasphemy. And all I can say is payday someday, because you have here deviant, perverted pedophilia in the context of convincing children that Jesus blesses it and all the rest. And then you got priests and others, religious workers, that some of which are chosen ones infiltrated into the church to create the problem, others just, again, given over to deviant issues. Now, what's not talked about a lot in the past, I would say back in the 70s when I was doing my first years of ministry, very little talk about incubus, succubus. I mean, demons coming to men and women and having sex with them and their experiences. I mean, they would have full-blown sexual experiences. I mean, they could describe it. I told in this week's series one story of a professor of a university here, as I met him in a restaurant, as he began to describe a sexual experience with demonic presence. He got to be so graphic in his telling me of it, I had to tell him to shut up. And I don't want to hear no more. This has happened with a few others. And I'm going to tell you from some of the counseling experience that involves deliverance from these demonic spirits raping individuals, primarily women, but it includes men. Does it include children that are brought into homes and situations where maybe rituals were done or open doors were there and there are spirits already in the house and in the rooms, and they get a bedroom that was once used where demonic, sexually oriented, unclean spirits are present? And all of a sudden, they begin to have some kind of weird thing. And sometimes they don't want to tell about it. There are probably women and men listening right now that don't want to tell about it. I'll also tell you this, and I think this is by the Spirit of God's discernment, insight. There are those listening where you have sought the experience. You've gone after the experience. And like this woman that I read, you think it's a good thing. Now, I don't understand how a woman, waiting for her husband to come home from Europe, putting her baby down for a nap, goes off to have her sexual escapade in the astral plane. Actually, probably the second heavenlies, the realm of the demons, fallen angels, and so forth. And so she's out there and sex with a male entity or whatever it was, a group of them, she's having group sex. And then when she's back even home, the presence of an entity is on her. And she even thinks that it's tricking her to think that it's her husband. But that's okay with her. You understand the moral dilemma there? I mean, do you understand the moral decadence there? Do you understand that the prophecy in the Word of God, 2 Thessalonians 2, about satanically oriented, given real, counterfeit, though, signs, wonders, and miracles, all about deceiving as many as possible. If you understand Revelation 12, the spiritual goal of deceit is global. Global. If you do not understand the spiritual nature behind globalism, you will miss every ounce of what the coming globalism and new order is all about. Now, when this woman that I read about tells her story, it's the same kind of thing I dealt with quite a few others. In that scripture, 2 Thessalonians 2, it deals with, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. It says they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. So a hard, hard commitment, I mean a absolute walled-off commitment against Christ, against the love of God, against God's approach to redeem and save and love and give the gift of eternal life. Well, that's why people perish. I pray to God right now in Jesus' name that you're not one of them. That you will not be seeking addictive, sexual, you know, hedonistic, and even just simply self-gratification and lose your soul. Jesus said before in the Gospels, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, yet loses his own soul? The deception spiritually, like in that case I just read, can be so absolutely blinding, affecting a woman or a man's emotion and sexual arousal and entire sexual experience to the point of addiction. To the point where it gets out of control. To the point where a man or a woman who's opened that up can't stop the experiences. coming into the offices over the years, individuals. The only way it stopped, the authority of Christ, the renunciation of the practice, the closing of the doors. Now, I've got 7 points that we're going to go over in the last 15 minutes about how to get rid of all of this. Before we do, let me touch on just a quick history. The issue of sexual rape by the demonic spirits, dark spirits. You go back to Genesis 6. We all have been looking at this for some time. As a matter of fact, in the last 5, 6, 7 years, more has been written about the Nephilim, the B'nai HaElohim that came down and had took the women and raped them and had sex with them and created offspring, mutations, non-humans, by the way. The Nephilim were never human. And you've got to understand that that was more of an invasion to pervert the bloodline and humanity. God bringing about the flood deals with this and saves humanity. You and I must stop for a moment to contemplate and think through the gravity, the heaviness of biblical prophecy. In Noah's day, the moral decadence and the demonic decadence went hand in hand. It became so outlandish that it seemed like the reality of the human race up to that date was deeply entrenched, decadent, dark, lost, addictive, along with, during those days, you know, blood rituals, sex rituals, demonic worship, and then the fallen angels having sex with the women, raping them, and creating offspring that would also go out and take other women. And everything about this was a perversion of God's order and brought about destruction. Please understand this very carefully. The flood was to stop this radical growing evil that would have consumed all of humanity, annihilating humanity. Stopping it by the flood, the judgment, saving and preserving humanity for the sake of the future. You're here because God stepped in at the flood. You and I are here right now because God's saving act, the flood, the ark, and the saving of what was left of humanity, pure humanity. The bloodline of Jesus goes back through all the way to Adam. Untouched by this demonized and then the Nephilim-oriented bloodlines. Now, it's vital for us to understand that because the ark idea and what God did there is a type of salvation in the cross. But it is also very clear. Listen now to the gravity of this. Check it out yourself, Matthew 24. Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah.